Hey, it's the Great Debates.
Hey.
Is anybody
hey.
Here?
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
We're all, yeah,
we're all here.
Hey,
wait.
Where
are these extra
voices? Wait, there's a lot of voices in here. Guess what, guys? We're back again with another episode with John and BJ. We had so much like good material. We thought we'd like just do a whole nother.
They were like, we're out of here. We're like, stick around.
Get the hell back in here and sit your ass down and
as I remember it, they were hanging and you guys wanted to leave and then they were like, let's do some more debates. More and you were like, ah, I guess.
Fine. More debating. Jeez.
Well, let's jump into it.
I'm ready to
debate. Let's debate.
I'm in.
Okay. We're going to introduce something called the double micro, which is just a micro debate that's twice as long as your normal micro debate because there are twice as many participants.
Right.
Oh, okay. Fair.
So I'm putting 6 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that's going to be enough.
Let's hope.
What we're going to do is we're going to have Heels deliver an opening statement, yep. taking the pro on a top mm-hmm. that I'm about to announce, mm-hmm. and Dave's going to jump in and take the con, and then we'll enter a free skate period with all four of us involved, or all four of you guys involved.
Great.
Topic is, 6 minutes on the clock, Healy taking the pro. Most vacations are a success.
I'm Steve Healy and I'm taking the pro. Most vacations are a success. Of course they are. Vacations, we can't stop taking them. But here's, let me get down to the nugget of why most vacations are a success. First of all, it's vacation. You're not at work. Your time is your own. If everything goes wrong, if it rains all day, if the hotel screws everything up, your flights are messed up, at least you weren't at work. You didn't have Mr. Edgar breathing down your neck. You weren't at school. Okay, so that's the first reason why most vacations are a success. I mean, most vacations just work out great and are fun. That's why people love vacation. But even if it doesn't, you're still not at work. You're out. Your time is your own. You're having some freedom. Freedom is the second reason why most vacations are a success. Third, most vacations are a success just because we want them to be a success so badly. Sheer human willpower makes them a success. It's a surprising fact of human life that your emotional response to something can be so overpowering that you have a lot of control over how you perceive what's happening. That's a fact. That's what Tony Robbins, the Secret guys, that's what they're peddling everywhere, is the fact that you can take emotional control over your experiences, and it's surprisingly effective. People walk away from those Robbins seminars feeling strong and powerful. I think it's the same thing with vacations. Even if the vacation is a disaster, it rains on you, everything gets screwed up, you will yourself into deciding it was a success. You come up with some funny memories. You share them with the people you were there with. The vacation becomes a success in your mind, whether or not it's like on metrics a success. For those reasons, most vacations are a success.
I'll go in reverse order of the arguments that you brought up. First of all, I would submit that if you need to will yourself to think that something is successful, if you need to
exercise... I should have been more clear.
Sorry,
that's for the 3% of vacations
if
that are bust.
If you need to exercise emotional control to will yourself to believe that something was good, then I don't think it was a success. I believe that the anticipation of the vacation is better than the event itself oftentimes. You said that this gives that vacations are a source of freedom. Not so for many vacations. Most vacations, I would actually surmise, are family vacations. And on those, you tend to be actually in closer quarters than you are. Even when you're home, you have less options of where you're going to go and who you're going to spend your time with. Here's an important point, Healy, and I got to call you out on this. I bet that most of your vacations are a success. But I think you're in a bit of an ivory tower. You've got money, you've got access, you've got a bibliography of travel books, and people are even paying you to go on extravagant vacations. The average vacation is not the one you're picturing, because the one that you go on is comfortable, you're in first-class accommodations, and most vacations...
Whoa. Getting personal and not accurate.
I'll throw myself into the same group. I tend to travel, what I would say, travel well.
Oh, when I was a kid, we went on vacation to Scituate, Massachusetts to my grandmother's house. Like, it was a fun vacation.
Must be nice.
It wasn't, it's an old fishing town, you know? It was fine. It wasn't anything luxurious or decadent, but we had fun because we were a family out on our own together experiencing freedom.
I'll even say that, Healy, you are in the minority of people and that you come from a functional family that likes to travel together. And most family vacations are not with people who you want to be surrounded by 24/7. Now, I happen to come from a very functional family as well. I look forward to family vacations. I'm not looking down on anyone who comes from a home where you don't share that sort of like love and warmth, but that happens to be the case for, I have to say, most Americans.
Can we agree that we're limiting the debate to the vacation going public? Like, if you're not going on vacation, it's not, it doesn't fall into the rubric of this debate.
I don't know what the alternative is.
Right, so we're talking about people who go on vacation.
Yes, but my point, part of my point, one of my points.
No, there's a scale of vacation, sure.
Yes, and you are going to the so high. Yeah, let's let
I'm,
our guest
I'm
jump
BJ
in.
Novak, I'm also jumping in on the pro. The question is, most vacations are a success. Not most vacations are fun. Yes. Most vacations are a great
time. Tell your
time.
Partner, because he's trying to say
well,
that
no,
fun.
I'm telling you, Dave, because
yes,
your argument.
Yes, you did. You said when you went to Situate, it was fun. You didn't say it was
and,
a success.
And fun counts as a success, but success is broader than
very
fun.
Fishy
so what
arguments.
Is? Hold on. What is the point of a vacation? It might be to visit family. It might be to, it could be anything. But
you
the point is,
get out of the house.
A goal.
To not
there's
be at work.
There's a goal with a vacation.
Okay.
The general goal, by definition, is to vacate what you're doing. Most people don't come back from a vacation thinking or saying, that was a failure. You have whatever the goal is, it is generally accomplished. And in general, the goal, when you look back on your life and the vacations you took, it's not about whether you were happy or sad. Of course, you hope to be happy. The goal is to be happy. But what is successful about a vacation, as Steve alluded to with the funny stories they tell afterwards, a vacation is about, at the end of your life, what they added to the totality and perspective of your normal life, to have vacated it and done good, bad, fun, miserable, interesting things in the little breaks in between. So do vacations accomplish that? Yeah, more or less they do.
I would define, I think the word here is successful.
Sorry, who's talking?
I'm sorry, this is John Mayer here talking. I think that for most people...
You're jumping
people,
in on the con.
I'm jumping in on the con. Forgive me for not setting that up. For most people, a vacation is an impossibly high standard for removing them from the rigors of their everyday life. Most people plan vacations months in advance. And in those months, the anticipation gets too high, the expectations get too high, and at that point the onus is on a vacation to almost be impossibly successful. I'm not saying it wouldn't be enjoyable by most other people's standards, but to the vacation planner, it is very difficult to have a successful vacation.
See, I think this team is coming in with the ivory tower argument. You mm-hmm. guys are imagining vacations as like trips to Italy and stuff. A school vacation, you don't even have to go anywhere. You stay at home and you drink soda and you play video games. You don't have to
it's
go
vacation.
To school. That's a success.
Well, I think traveling also, when you put traveling into the mix, it's very difficult to take things places. You lose things. A lot of people want to go to vacations in exotic places where laws are different. Things are, crime is rampant. I can't tell you how many times people have, how many times do you hear the phrase vacation horror stories?
Yeah, or like the hacky phrase, I need a vacation from
because
this
vacation. Because they're so outside
the realm. Yeah, you hear that like wedding horror.
It's like planes crash.
Shocking.
For yeah. Planes don't generally crash.
So much has to go right for a vacation to be a success. And only a few things have to go wrong for it to be a failure.
Is that the buzzer?
That's the
buzzer. That's the buzzer.
Man,
you're kidding.
I can't believe I got
I may have given you a little extra time
the
also.
Roxbury Latin guy telling me that for the ivory tower that his school vacations, get the fuck out of here.
I don't know.
You know your school vacations were nicer than other vacations.
A lot of vacations end up in fights between lovers. I can tell you, I think I have a theory that most people are lying when they say, at least in the world of couples, most people are lying when they tell their friends they had a good vacation. Most couples' vacations contain deep rifts.
I think the burden was on the con side to argue that vacations are not even good, successful, and I don't know that you guys.
I'm giving it to the pro side.
I agree with
Thank
you,
Deans.
I agree. You guys took it.
I don't
sure.
think we really got up over the hill.
Okay, Dave. What do you really? Let's have a. What do you really think for a second?
Vacations are one of the richest.
Yes.
I'm still holding my vacation.
Oh, I'm on the con. I'm like, oh
for
fuck.
Meals?
I'm still
no,
holding
my
vacation.
Yeah. I mean, how many vacations? If we're talking about like any kind of travel vacation. I could count on three fingers the vacations I regret taking. Maybe, if that.
Oh, I've got
I
can't think of a vacation I've regretted taking.
I'm taking all the dozens of vacations
so
I've gone on.
I don't
hardly
take a lot
ever
of
regret taking
I've
them.
I've never
always,
regretted
yeah,
any
kind of course not. I haven't either. I mean, I was
to me, vacation is like New Year's Eve. It's like, oh, all right, great, yeah. Like, it's just such
really?
High expectations. They always let me down.
I'm not a vacation
guy. I like,
well, you're a
I'm not
dog,
I'm not an adamant con, but I'm slightly on the con. Mm,
huh.
Yeah. I think a lot. For me, if you told me I could go on vacation,
because the bar is high.
Yeah, I mean, part of vacation is planning a vacation. I think if you told me I was going to go on vacation, you let me pick where I was going to go, and you can pick.
Who's stopping you?
Yeah, who's stopping you?
Well, I'm just saying. For the sake of argument,
send me to this wrong place.
You know what I'm saying. I sit around and I pick where I'm going to go, and you go, John, and you're going to have first class accommodations. I don't need to go to have enjoyed the vacation in terms of the plan. I believe the vacation is 80% looking forward to a vacation, and then the actual play out of the vacation. And but I think there's far too much on the shoulders of the vacation itself to come through on how many months are spent or weeks are spent planning that vacation. I think
that's
going to
resonate with a lot of people.
Can I suggest something? And if you do this, I want credit for this idea. Mm-hmm. You, John Mayer, should go to Brazil.
There would be no vacation, sir.
Guys, are we going to host Chuck?
I think we're
here. Yeah, we're there.
I'm really excited to have these
guests. I bet a lot of listeners have opinions on this right now. Everyone's back from their vacation.
I would love to hear them. Write to us, greatdebate69@gmail.com, greatdebate69@Twitter. Tell us your opinions about vacation, what you think about the debate.
And at me and John, too.
Okay, guys, I have a host chat question. I'm so excited to have these people here to answer it and deal with it. One of my special memories of this year, I took a trip out to Death Valley with Dan Medina and a couple other guys.
Oh, wow, what a trip.
And we were off-roading, looking for old mines and stuff, and we pull up on Medina. We're in a Jeep, and he's in his, what do you have, a Bronco or Land Rover?
Land Cruiser.
Land Cruiser. We pull up on him. We're out there in the Death Valley, and he's blasting the Supremes.
Oh, that's great.
Me thinking about, like, it was not at all, you think you're out in Death Valley, Graham Parsons or something, like, he's playing the Supremes. So it got me thinking about unusual musical pairings. I was wondering if our guests have any examples that they love, if they have times when they play this with that in ways that are surprising or interesting or have drawn, if you have a memory of hearing a certain song that's not obviously appropriate to an occasion, but that worked out great, or what you got for me on musical combo.
I would think that, sometimes I sometimes split music into cold weather music or hot weather.
Love,
hot
music. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Jazz music, I don't listen to jazz music in the summertime.
Yeah, yeah.
I listen to jazz music in the cold months.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I remember as a kid, somehow I got a John Coltrane tape from the library, got really into it, and I got in the habit of listening to it while taking a shower. And I felt like a New York sophisticated or something. I don't know what it was. Yeah.
I remember there's a lot of primal musical sounds. Like doesn't everyone have that song that you listen to and you go right back to smelling the rug in your house?
Sure. Well, my parents used to clean the kitchen floor, linoleum kitchen floor, and they would play like Pete Seeger and Arlo Guthrie records, basically.
Cleaning records. My mom would clean the house to Tom Petty, The Pretenders, and then we hit this immaculate collection phase.
Oh, what a great
Madonna.
Yeah, Madonna. Yeah. My brother and I would clean the house to the Immaculate Collection. It was pretty fun.
By the way, great wordplay for a title of an album.
I didn't get it.
The Immaculate Collection.
Yeah. BJ, what were we listening to?
One, I don't know if anyone knows this, even among the listeners, and please write if you do, but there was an a cappella group before a cappella was big, before... I won't say cool, but before it was big, there was an a cappella group called The Bobs. This is also before Rockapella. So really proto. And The Bobs, my dad loved The Bobs. And I listened to them. I was on a drive in Texas and a few months ago. And I listened to The Bobs. It's a great road trip stuff. That was my childhood.
That's cool.
The Bobs.
Wow. That's
awesome. That was our jam.
My sound that takes me like back almost like to the womb is Wrapped Around Your Finger by The Police. There's, and it ties into the video a little bit, but it's just that sound, it all goes together. That one sound with it brings like He-Man and Star Wars Return of the Jedi. And your parent, you go into your grandmother's house before you realize it was because your parents were having a party.
You know, it's a great sound. Speaking of party, can I sidebar for a second? I was thinking there should be a white noise, you know, the white noise of like raindrops or whatever, of your parents having a party downstairs.
Yes.
Just glasses clinking and some words you kind of vaguely recognize. It's a great sound.
So most of our listeners are probably in cold weather. Before we get back into the debate, you want to recommend some cold weather music?
What a great question. Sure. You know what would be really interesting to mix up with some cold weather is like super Western stuff. Like not country, but like Johnny Horton or... Hank Williams. Mm. Like, we're on, like, out in Montana, Western plus snow is such a cool juxtaposition.
Oh. What about, like, such a will cool you play that next
oh,
week?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
about some, like, Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys?
Stuff like that, yeah. exactly.
What? I don't know. Yeah. They have been playing you out in Montana.
Hank Williams had a radio show for a lot, for, you know, a period of time. And you can get the box set.
What?
And it's gorgeous. And it's Hank Williams doing a radio show, and it's he does these commercials for Mother's Finest. I think it's cornmeal or something. Folks, Mother's Finest cornmeal is the...
Wait, where do you find this?
There's a box set of Hank Williams' radio show. And you can... It is like the tape is sort of deteriorating. And
That's great.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That's good for you.
Hell yeah. Should we debate? Or
yeah!
Okay, let's try another of these double micros. And this time, we're going to have our guests kick it off. John's taking the pro opening, and then BJ will jump in with a con. And then you guys... Steve and Dave can come in when it's time to tag in as necessary. Okay, John taking the pro. The topic is, guitar is the sexiest instrument.
The guitar invented sex. One part rifle, one part flower, one part surfboard.
Oh, BJ, you lost one part, already. I'm sorry.
One part samurai's katana. The guitar is, on a scientific level, one of the very few instruments that is capable of creating both perfectly static notes and bent notes. It's a microtonal instrument. It is also a static instrument because of the frets, but you can also bend them. And it's this bending of the string that gives you this wailing, plaintive sound. This is the sound of moaning in sex. This is the sound of destruction in war. This is the sound of whispering in sweet talking. The guitar is capable of summoning all the pleasure and all of the pain and all points in between. It invented rock and roll. It continues to reinvent rock and roll. If you bring a guitar to a party, you are considered the cool guy. I, like many other people, started playing guitar to try to meet girls, knowing there was no other way to do it. If you bring any other instrument to a party and start playing Wonderwall on it, you are a dork. Somehow or another, you are a special guy if you know how to play the guitar at a party. While My Guitar Gently Weeps, it's incredible. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones. You can go all the way to Wes Montgomery. The sexiness of Wes Montgomery playing with his thumb, playing octaves on a Gibson big hollow body jazz guitar. It's just as cool as Jimi Hendrix playing Foxy Lady or Hey Joe or Wild Thing at the 1967 Monterey Pop Festival. It continues to be the sexiest thing in the world, continues to be a lightning rod for sexiness. It continues to redefine what sexiness is. I am so honored to be able to play it. And there are many other great instruments, but none as sexy as the guitar, either electric or acoustic.
Look, I hope that the listener sympathizes with me here. I am debating against the human argument for the guitar being the sexiest instrument at its sexiest, and I'm still going to see what I can do here. I would argue no debate. The guitar is a very, very sexy instrument. It's top three, it's top two, it's way up there. It's very sexy. But as with Nancy Kerrigan and skating, sometimes what seems like the first place winner comes in second place and it's what you remember. And that's what the guitar is. We are picturing a world in which literally John Mayer is playing the guitar, singing to one of the beautiful women that you've met in your life. And I agree, in that situation, it is the sexiest instrument. I don't want to play the card here, the identity card, but I do need to broaden things out a bit. For a white man to a white woman, guitar is the sexiest instrument. That's what everyone in this room is. Let's broaden this internationally. A woman to a man, whether it's in America, anywhere in the world, is that woman playing the electric guitar? Is she perhaps playing the piano? A man to a man. Is that man playing the guitar? Maybe. Is he playing the piano? Maybe. That's what we're picturing. let's say you are in, I don't know, Tierra del Fuego, Central Africa, and the guitar is an exotic instrument. It's associated with Spain or flamenco or, you know, early Chuck Berry or Beatles or something, and it's a more specific instrument, I would say there, a man would seduce a woman, a man. Piano is probably a more universal ability to seduce someone. So I think in the grand scheme of things across all cultures and gender identities, I think guitar is up there, no doubt. I don't think it takes the gold medal in the end.
BJ, you have the demeanor of a public defender being forced to stand before a judge, at his legal pad.
It's a tough job.
And just try to deliver the
point. I have a tough job, but I, you know, often that's the guy who wins the case.
This is very much sounded like a plea bargaining situation from BJ.
No. I think I can win here. I know I'm up against Johnny Cochran and I'm Chris Darden.
Not that John,
but needed, it doesn't mean that OJ is innocent.
Not that John needed any help, but I do want to attack BJ's what I think is his strongest argument, which is like the heteronormative great attack.
It's a great attack.
That John's picturing just a man playing to a woman, and right, okay, fine. Picture a woman playing the electric guitar. It's like the sexiest thing ever. It kicks ass. It's awesome.
Continue.
That's it.
I'll try to jump in and help BJ here because this is an uphill argument. But I want to speak to a couple of things that John said and try to disprove them. You mentioned the bending of the notes of the guitar being one of the things that makes it sexy. I would argue that bending notes is actually unsexy, and I would offer the trombone as an example. Or a theremin of an instrument. I don't know why you guys are laughing. I'm quite serious.
No,
about
I agree.
This.
A theremin is not the sexiest instrument.
These are two instruments,
and it's the bendiest.
Than a guitar. It can bend notes. You can manipulate pitch. And the very fact that you guys laughed at this, I think, suggests that there's nothing sexy inherently about bending notes.
There is something sexy inherently about bending notes. It is a very vocal quality. Of course, the sexiest instrument of all is the human voice.
Well, I don't know if it's the guitar.
Would there might have been an instrument that wasn't discussed here? That could
absolutely
be
could have been the flute,
the cello, very sexy.
What about the harp?
I was going to mention the harp situation.
Yeah,
if you could sit down and play the harp. If you could play the harp with aplomb, that would be sexier than anything.
I'll tell you the instrument that tends to be played by the sexiest people. Is the maracas. Because that's who you give to the person you want on stage. You can't play anything.
Great.
The castanets are the sexiest instrument because the flamenco dancer plays them, right?
Also, I mean, is the debate over? Can I say a few things that might count? If you were to sort of aggregate this, there's a lot of people playing the guitar. Mm. And piano would win because you don't normally see someone playing the piano who really can't do it. You see more people playing the guitar who can't do it than you can see people.
You might be extra sensitive to that.
But if we're looking to like this one instrument is contributed to by everyone who plays it, then the guitar has
a man or a woman, would you rather have sex with the average person who plays the piano or the average person who plays the guitar?
I'm going to go out and say,
a white male heterosexual in this particular blue state culture? I'd rather sleep with a woman. Piano. I think that's sexier.
Or a woman who plays guitar?
Yeah, I'd rather sit with a woman who plays piano beautifully. It would seduce me more. I'm just speaking for myself.
I would lose a woman. I would lose out to the John Mayer of piano. I know this. I would if there was a John Mayer of piano, I would lose a woman.
Franz Liszt. Okay.
I don't know, but I fear him. I fear him every day.
Franz Liszt. I think it was like
Beethoven
Eric
didn't play
Jr.
guitar
or something. Is that insulting? I don't know. Who I'm asking? Who's the John Mayer of the piano?
Of the piano?
Yeah. Who do you?
Oh my God! Well, anytime you offload this into an out of context, and then I would use that name, you would go, oh, "Look who he thinks he is."
I saw a Chance the Rapper play piano on SNL, and I was like,
"That was cool.
Sexy."
That was sexy.
I didn't think of the word, but I would throw it in for the debate purposes.
Sure.
In retrospect, it was sexy, and I don't know the guitar would have brought the same.
Here
I am debating again. We should just be hanging out.
Mm-hmm. We really should be.
But Deans, what do you think?
Well, I mean, the opening statement that John gave was kind of like
strong.
It was so strong. But here's my thing. I was prepared to just call it at that point.
Dave and I sowed seeds of doubt, didn't
and
we?
And BJ, you really brought it with the So I'm just gonna like make it a wash. And
I like it being a wash. I like it being a wash because
it was a very strong debate.
This is one of those things where both teams get money donated to their charities.
Exactly.
And the winner
which
is
should always be the case in charity tournaments. Yes. By the way, it's not like nothing for the orphans.
Dogs won this one. Supporting.
Dogs and orphans.
Dogs and orphans.
We did promise a while ago to give some money to the Chilean miners. We haven't done that. Yeah.
Well, that'll date. That'll date when that was.
Yeah. It was long after they.
No, that was recently.
We also at we also said that we'd give money to that girl, baby Jessica, who fell down. That was a long.
She
time
needs ago. A couple bucks. We'll hug her.
Yeah, we said we would do that, didn't we?
If you know of anyone stuck in a well, a crevasse, anything, let
us know. It's greatdebate69@gmail.com. Greatdebate69 everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, all that. Guys, what a great episode. Glad we got to come back for another one.
Oh, yeah.
Super fun.
Thank you, BJ.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
What a treat.
Thank you.
And thanks to our listeners. We love you. Couldn't do it without you.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.